HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So let's step forward together. Ka hoake tono tātou. Let's keep moving.
I cherish the idea of a new South Africa.
Will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Aight, listen, why do we need politics? This question seems like $1 million, but isn't really. We need politics for two simple reasons. One, we're the future and we need to represent ourselves and the country in a better light. And two, because it's fun, it's interesting, and it's important. This is Aniket and I host the evening show on 94.3 Radio 1. And me, along with Fabian Sir, getting you Politics for Dummies, where we understand politics then and now. We understand politics right and left. So, what are you waiting for? Put on your headphones and strap on, because you are going to have a ride of your life. Welcome. Joining us today is Mr. Fabian. And so, you know what? I am someone who keeps on forgetting. All right. I'm a very, very young kid. I am a student at this point of time. And this is my very first class. You're the teacher. Imagine you've entered the classroom. There's a huge blackboard. And you have to, like, introduce yourself to the entire class. Go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
Thank you, Aniket. I haven't recently spoken to a person younger than you. And you might not have spoken to a person older than I recently.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. But
so many springs, what shall I say, enriches. You know the difference in springs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, very briefly, I was in the Indian Foreign Service 1964-2000. Retired from Rome, where I was ambassador to Italy and permanent representative to the United Nations in Rome. Now, the adjective permanent is slightly misleading because I was there only for 4 years, not forever. Anyway, since then I have been taking interest in academia.
Okay.
And currently I am on the guest faculty of Geneva School of Diplomacy and International Relations, where Mikhail Gorbachev is on the faculty.
Ooh.
I am also distinguished fellow with Symbiosis University, Pune.
Ah.
And very close to where we are, I am a professor at the Indian Society of International Law.
All right. So that is our professor for today. And the reason why Professor Fabian is joining us today is because we're trying to understand, learn, implement, and execute politics. This is a topic that everybody seems to be very interested in these days. This is a topic that a lot of people don't know, but yet claim to be experts. So what we're going to break that, we're going to break their theory of politics down. And you being our professor in class, we're going to go ahead and ask you all sorts of questions. So Professor, what would be the very first topic for the very first class that you are leading to us with?
Well, I honestly believe that politics has remained primitive, not only in theory but also in practice. But if you like, we can talk on what is happening in the United States.
Okay.
We can talk about President Biden and his distinguished predecessor.
Ex-President Donald Trump.
Yes.
All right, so that would be a very first lesson where we will try to understand what's going on, or what was going on in the year 2020 towards November to December. It was Biden versus Trump. So, Professor, the very first, so I'm going to call you Professor throughout the series because...
You can call me Fabian.
Yeah, I mean, okay, cool. He's a cool teacher. So, Fabian, here's a question. 2020 ended up with a big bang. All right. The whole of the world stood still when the red and the blue lines were trying to, you know, cross the 370 mark. It was Biden versus Trump. Why was this election so significant?
For the simple reason that a second term for Trump, Donald Trump, would have been great disaster, not only for America, but also for the rest of the world.
So why was Donald Trump categorized at this point of time by the millennials the worst president ever to be in the White House?
Well, let me put it this way. January 2017, when Trump had taken over, I had written an article which was published, and the title was President Donald Trump, a bull in China shop, ? And I had concluded that he might prove to be a bull. And I'm sorry to say that he had confirmed my fears.
So was he that reckless? Everybody knew about it. But what was the reason why people still voted? Like a bull in a China shop, it's literally saying that this is the biggest disaster that you can ever experience. Why did people still go ahead and, you know, get him into the office?
That is because, yeah, he's, from a certain point of view, good communicator.
All right.
If you notice, he doesn't finish his sentences always. It's always the guy next door. And if you notice, his predecessor, Obama, he spoke like a professor. Full sentences. You know, everything is perfect. Now, that imperfection made him more popular. That is Trump. Secondly, there is a section in the American society, well, what shall I call it, white male section.
Okay.
And who believe, honestly, that there have been too many non-white people and that America has been spending its resources being the global policeman and global do-gooder.
Okay. So that's what it is. There were various factors in the 2020 election that were going on. And everybody was watching it very closely. So what were these factors that made this election so close? Was there an outside involvement too this time, like ex-President Trump claims it to be as?
Well, as regards outside involvement, it's like this. Governments or others at the bidding of governments, not all governments, do try to influence American election. And we may believe that Russia tried. And we may believe that China also tried. But then we should not spend too much time on that because America also does it. So such outside interference is universal and cannot be stopped.
Okay. Okay.
And I do not know whether such outside interference had a determining impact.
Okay. Fair. So you're telling me that there is no outside interference, but was there a social reform that was coming from outside America to, like, from India, from Canada, from other countries that wanted Trump to get out of the office and anybody but Trump would have been fine in the office?
Well, as regards India, you know that there was a big show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was not to get Trump out. It was to get him in.
Okay.
Anyway, so what shall I say? Many people outside the United States were worried about Trump because after what you see, he is a real estate tycoon. Now, what I had said in my article is that unlike, say, the CEO of Google, you know, where when you have a manager's meeting, the CEO takes opinions from everyone and then gives a tentative conclusion and again goes around.
Okay.
Whereas Trump, to my knowledge, he might not even ask the managers, but if he asks, he would let them say what they want to say, but finally just gives a decision. No further. His style is different.
All right. That's about it. So who had a better campaign when the 2020 elections happened? Trump was aggressive. Trump had the support of the white boys. He had the support of a lot of other politically aligned parties that were somewhere aligned to white supremacy. And then Biden. Biden had the support of all liberals. Biden had the support of all people who wanted to have a very common, happy, liberal life. So who had a better campaign? And if we have to understand this campaign, how can we understand this campaign?
Well, Trump got 73.8 million votes. If I remember right.
Yes.
And of course, Biden got more.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose it's evident that the victor had a better campaign.
Okay.
But that Trump got 73.8 shows that he carried out a very effective campaign.
So, from the last election against Hillary Clinton, Trump got more votes in this election. There were 73 million Americans who still believe that Trump should be in the office. Is this something to worry about when it comes to other nations and other elections as well?
We have to, because as I see it, you know, Trump's election did promote some leaders who tried to clone themselves into Trump clones.
Yeah.
And even Brexit, you know, got a, you know, sort of a adrenaline or vitamin because of, and Bolsonaro.
Yeah.
So it does happen. In the international relations, there is contagion. Whether it is a good virus or bad virus.
It's a virus.
There is contagion.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Fabian, here's a very important question. And this is when your own party denounces the candidate, right? There were certain sections in the Republican Party who went ahead and, you know, just outright said no to Trump. In fact, a lot of registered voters who were Republican outright said it on press that this time they would not vote or vote for the other party. What made people, you know, switch this mode? What made people go into this direction?
I think the fundamental reason is that Trump is not Republican. He captured the Republican Party and, you know, by projecting invincibility, held it under his spell. But he's not Republican. He doesn't read much. He does not have a Republican agenda. His agenda is simple. Not America first, but Trump first, once and for all. So I think at some point of time, some Republicans got to know what the matter was, and they felt ashamed over certain things which Trump had done.
So the very first time when they got Trump on their party, when they decided that Trump shall run elections through the Republican Party, why did they start with this? Why did they not, you know, denounce him then only? Because he never made his agendas hidden. He was very clear since the beginning. Make America great again by any means necessary. That includes being racist.
Yeah, I think the simplest answer and certainly a true answer is that people can be fooled. As Abraham Lincoln said, we can fool some people for some time, we can fool all people for some time, but we cannot fool all people for all time.
All right, and there goes Trump down the drains. Okay, here's also another continuation of the same question that I asked you, the denouncement of Trump. Has this ever happened in the history of politics where someone is representing a certain party anywhere in this world? And because of the ideologies of that person, the party separates themselves from the candidate?
Well, that might have happened elsewhere also. I suppose some conservatives, in UK were unsatisfied with Prime Minister May, and they started making statements, you know. So that can happen. That can happen.
Okay. So a lot of people in India, outside India, in America, Canada, Mexico, UK, everybody had a sentiment to share. What got the world together to talk about the elections that were happening in America?
That is because, you know, who was it? It was said, you know, there should be no taxation without representation. John Locke said it. Similarly, the American president, being the most powerful person under the moon, can impact on your life and my life, though we are not Americans. So I honestly believe that the rest of the world also should have a say in who becomes the president of the United States. But I have no way of giving you a method how to do it. So we are all interested, deeply interested, so we express ourselves.
All right. Now, why was the whole world eyeing the red and blue graph? This is also something very important. Like, yes, people had sentiments, but why were they so inclined? And the elections got stuck. The counting got stuck. You know, why did everybody look at the red and the blue graph, and why was everybody glued onto that screen?
Well, I was on a television show at that time, and I remember that every other panelist had come to the conclusion that Trump was making it.
Okay.
For the second time.
Okay.
And when I said, I'm not so sure, we have to wait, they all pounced upon me. And not only that, one of them said that, well, if there is any dispute, if even if Biden wins, Trump will take it to the Supreme Court and he would get it done there. So I asked him why. Oh, because, you know, he has nominated one or two of them and they are all beholden to him. So I said, listen, if I am the Supreme Court judge, even if you have nominated me at some point of time in the past, does it mean that I should do your bidding? Then I'm not a judge. So my view is that the American Supreme Court will do what is right. But nobody agreed with me.
So you made this judgment long back. Now, Professor Fabian, this is the end of the class, and this is a very important question. At the end of the day, it all boils down to, how does it affect India? India as a country has great diplomatic relationships with a lot of other countries. We've got a significant relationship with America. Barack Obama had a great relationship with our current sitting Prime Minister Narendra Modi. So did Donald Trump. And now, once again, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has great connections with Biden, President Biden. How does the change in presidency affect India on a larger scale?
To my mind, President Trump hardly did much for India. It is true that our defense relationship got stronger, which is good for us, but also good for America, because they were able to sell a lot of weapons. And, you know, Trump was the best, most enthusiastic salesman for the military-industrial congressional complex. So the change in the occupancy of the White House is good for India. President Biden is more mature, more experienced, and he can look at the big picture. And when he is there, I expect with high confidence that India-US relations will improve, and also it will expand onto other areas. Defense relationship is very important for us,
Yeah. But
that's not enough. I want to see a broader relationship in trade, investment, technology, and diplomacy. And don't forget that Trump stalled any trade agreement. I expect Biden to be fair. You know, we are not asking for concessions. We are asking for a deal which is, what they say, win-win. Good for you and good for me.
All right.
And then as the two democracies, America may be the richest, but India is the biggest. And don't forget that India's sort of brand of democracy is admired universally.
Okay.
You know, so the two democracies should work together. And there are many areas where, as I said, in diplomacy, we can work together.
All right. That is brilliant. Now, one question after class. Should people like Donald Trump, who are absolutely inexperienced, run for elections, even if though have good, sentiments? Like we've heard people like Kanye West, who's a musician, very weird. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Right? We've heard names of Oprah Winfrey. We've heard names of Tom Hanks. They all wish to run for US presidential race. Should people without political knowledge run for politics?
I think democracy means if you are eligible otherwise, age-wise and otherwise, you are entitled to run. And I will not interfere with that rule. It's better to be democratic in such matters and run the risk of such people getting elected. Even now, there is a move to disenfranchise him, you know. But I personally wouldn't like to see that. I think let him run if he wants. But the electorate should show that they can act, they can vote intelligently.
Can Donald Trump run as an individual without any party for the U.S. elections? 2024?
I mean, technically it is possible. Whether he would or not is a different matter. But technically he can.
All right.
He can even have a new party.
Oh, cool. The Trump Party. Trump Towers Party. Probably. You don't know. You would never know. And that concludes the very first class of Politics for Dummies with Professor Fabian and your very relatable yet dumb student Aniket. Now, Fabian sir, your final words before we can wrap this up.
Well, I have enjoyed every moment, Aniket, of this class. And I think, you know, such interactive class where we have a conversation and not a lecture.
Yeah.
I think that is very important.
All right. So thank you so much, Professor Fabian. This is for us, Professor Fabian, for being a part of the show. All right. Although not a real professor. Are you a real professor?
I'm unreal. I'm searching for reality.
Oh, God. That's philosophy right there. Next class, philosophy with Fabian. That's what we're going to know. We're still doing politics. Stay tuned. Thank you so much. Have a nice day, Fabian, sir.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. And listen, if you want to listen to more such podcasts, then go ahead and check us out on hdsmartcast.com. And don't forget, this was an HD Smartcast production, which is India's fastest growing podcast production platform. And if you want to have a conversation with me in regards to politics, you can always hit me up on Instagram. That's Radio Aniket for you. And if you want to give us feedback, at HD Smartcast is where we will be ready for your feedback. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Aur suno naye nazariye se.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.